Hey everybody, welcome back to The Heel Turn. This is episode 2 of The Heel Turn. Today is March the 24th, 2010, and I'm joined as always by my boy Bobby Rogue. Bobby, welcome back to The Heel Turn.
Thank you, Carlos. It's good to be back, and hello, internet world.
So, dude, tell me, you went to the WWE show on Monday for a six-hour extravaganza of wrestling. Tell me all about it.
Definitely didn't make it the whole 6 hours. I got really, really tired. I was definitely there to watch NXT. I'm a big fan of Justin Gabriel, whatever the hell his name is. I do know he's from South Africa. He's a high flyer. He does some pretty cool moves. Went to go see Brian Daniel. He's got two first names. I always get confused on what his proper name is. It was pretty cool, man. I liked what I saw, and I also wanted to see Bret Hart because I think that it'll be one of the last times that I'll probably get to see him since, you know, WWE shows only roll around our town every 1 or 2 years.
Dude, so tell me what that was like seeing Bret Hart. I know I've never seen him live in person, and I've been a huge fan since I was a kid. So when that music hit and that Pink came out, tell me all about it.
I'm a big fan of the Hart Dynasty and the Harts. I've been watching Bret Hart, man, since WrestleMania 2, I want to say, is when I started liking him. Yeah. It was intense. I love watching him. I love his microphone skills. I know some people don't like his microphone skills. I believe that Bret Hart is one of the old school, hardcore, five-star wrestlers that still know how to give a promo.
You know, I used to think he had really good mic skills, and I haven't been as impressed as I used to be with him lately, and I don't know if that's due to his stroke or maybe he's just a little bit rusty. I was really hoping he'd bring it at from Raw this last week, and I didn't really get that from him. But I would still love to see had seen him in person just because how historic an event like that would be.
Yeah, it was historic. One of the things I like about WWE is that for 2 years in a row now, they've come into San Jose, California, and we've had super shows. So to see Bret Hart, to see the WWE do a super show again in San Jose, props out to WWE. Definitely a great experience, but I do got to say this. The best match of the night was not on SmackDown, and it was not on Raw, and it was not on NXT. Set your TiVos and DVRs, internet world, to WWE Superstars and check out the Tyson Kidd-Rey Mysterio match. That was hands down the best match of the night.
You know, I'm liking how WWE is getting some of these bigger superstars in with some of these kids and kind of putting them over a little bit, and I think that's pretty cool. You know, that's definitely something that they need to do outside of NXT. They need to start doing it with their own programming, and I'm hoping to see some of that, more of that kind of stuff after WrestleMania as they move into kind of a new season of wrestling, and as the new storylines start taking shape, and really hoping to see the push of the kids. Not the kind of push that Sheamus or Jamie McIntyre has been getting, but a good, honest push where these guys, you know, hit the U.S. Championship, hit the Intercontinental Championship, work their way up and earn their way up to a world title. And, you know, I'm hoping for some bigger stuff, especially on the tag team round, because their tag team division just has been sucking for like the last 5 years.
Sucks so bad that, you know, that you have to have, you know, the same tag team hold, you know, two brands of belts, which is horrible. And you're bringing up a really good point that it always seems that right around WrestleMania, you have another season or they start to strategize and make a new plan and they start to shift gears, you know, usually starting with, you know, the draft. So hoping to see some new stars go to Raw, hoping to see, you know, up-and-comers, you know, pay their dues like in the old ways, like in the 70s and the 80s in the old-school territories, like Tyson Kidd is doing, and like Davey Boy Smith's son is doing. They're working their way up the ranks. And there are some good wrestlers right now that are generational wrestlers. Richie Steamboat is out there. He's making some noise out in Florida Championship Wrestling. And I heard, is it maybe there might be another DiBiase out there as well?
Yeah, there is definitely another DiBiase out there, and you'll see him at the Hall of Fame inducting his dad on Saturday, which I'm looking forward to that too. So let's talk a little bit about the Hall of Fame. Who out of all the inductions this year, what are you looking forward to the most?
I usually like to see the old school inductions, you know, people that weren't in the WWE. or that somehow were affiliated old school. I like Mad Dog Vachon. He's old school. He's from the old school territories. Internet world, if you don't know who Mad Dog Vachon is, his daughter is Luna Vachon. So if you're a little bit younger than I am, you know who Luna Vachon is. She was in WWE quite a few years ago. I like Mad Dog Vachon. I like Antonio Inoki whenever they do anything. You know, in Japan, wrestling is bigger than it is in the United States. In Japan, yeah, wrestlers are just flat out superstars at the same level as movie stars. So Antonio Inoki going in, pretty cool. And who doesn't love or love to hate the Million Dollar Laugh, or the Million Dollar Man, yeah, with that Million Dollar Laugh.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and I'm looking forward to Stu Hart. I mean, we knew that was going to happen, and that was the whole reason Bret Hart kind of came back and did this whole lead up into WrestleMania. It was no big surprise. Like, I'm kind of disappointed in how they did it. Stone Cold announcing it was cool, but just how that all went down, could have been done a little bit better, especially for somebody like Stu Hart. But, and then, of course, the latest announced Hall of Famer for this year is going to be Bob Uecker, which at first I was like, really? This guy? I had completely forgot about their celebrity wing of the Hall of Fame. Yeah. And unfortunately, we were privy to that this week with Pete Rose, because that the whole Pete Rose general manager thing really sucked this week. But when they did the promo for Bob Uecker and they started flashing back to WrestleMania 3 and 4, and I was just like, man, I completely forgot that Bob Uecker was pretty big for a couple years within the WWE, and the whole scene where Andre the Giant was choking him, and you know how they put that over, and it really brought back some nostalgic type memories for me of being a kid and watching that and remembering WrestleMania 3, you know, way back when. And I thought it was pretty cool, so I'm kind of excited to see him go in.
Yeah, you know, the wrestling celebrity wing is pretty nostalgic, and it's not going to last for long, because if you think back, the reason that there were celebrities at WrestleMania's were because they needed an attraction. So the celebrities attracted more people. So now what attracts people to go see WrestleMania is the actual wrestlers themselves, because now the wrestlers are on the main stage, and then the celebrities kind of just add in a little extra touch.
Well, the thing is, if you pay attention to wrestling news, there's a lot of buzz lately about that, the fact that they're kind of running out of people to put in the Hall of Fame.
And, yep.
You know, I think the next big one probably to go in next year will be the Ultimate Warrior. But
yeah, they got to get Warrior in. Yeah, that's true.
And as you start to kind of look through it, you know, they're kind of running out of really quality people to pull in the Hall of Fame. So I think they almost shot themselves in the foot by having such big classes and maybe inducting some of the younger guys. I mean, I'm pretty sure Steve Austin could have waited a bit. You know, that kind of stuff. So, yeah, you know, it's going to be interesting to see how the Hall of Fame kind of plays itself out over the next few years.
Definitely a marketing tool that the WWE was ahead on their time. I don't know if you remember, but you and I got a chance to go to a WrestleMania at the Staples Center, and they had a Hall of Fame ceremony back then. If you look now, those Hall of Fame ceremonies are selling out in about 20 minutes.
Yeah.
The ceremony that you and I went to, there was a lot of open seats, and I remember purchasing those tickets like a couple of days before we even took off to Los Angeles.
Yeah, and that was the Hall of Fame that Hulk Hogan went in, and there was still open seats.
Sly Stallone inducted him. It wasn't a big deal. Now it's just a big a deal as WrestleMania is.
Yeah, yeah. And I'm definitely going to have my DVR set to record it. I'm hoping they play the whole thing on USA, but I think they always end up just playing the big Hall of Fame inductee, and I don't know who that's going to be this year. Is that going to be the Million Dollar Man, or is that going to be Stu Hart? Who's going to take the spotlight? That spotlight, TV time induction.
Yeah, you know, that's a trip, because you know Stu Hart passed away, but I don't know that. You know, that's a good question. I'm going to just say pick it.
I think
personally, if I was in charge of programming, I would have Million Dollar Man, and then I would lead into Stu Hart. Just for the fact that if you're going to look into the audience, you're going to see a ton of the Hart family out there.
Yeah. 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 Yeah.
That's going to be fun.
All right. So moving on into some of the bigger wrestling news for this past week, and we're kind of getting more of an organized format for the heel turn. So we're going to go over some of the bigger news stories, that we found to be of value for our internet fans out there, and then we're gonna move into a WrestleMania pick'em, go through the WrestleMania matches or the big dances, as this podcast is gonna be called, and talk about some of the matches and who we think are gonna win. So let's talk about some of the news. So the first news story that we came up with that we thought, and I personally think was pretty funny, but so Eric Bischoff doesn't know when to keep his mouth shut, or at least according to PW Insider, he doesn't. So the story is Eric Bischoff was bragging on his Facebook that he was getting a $25,000 or $50,000 royalty check from WWE for the book that he wrote a few years ago. And the WWE responded by dropping his book down on WWEshop.com to $1.98.
That's so funny. Do you know how much it was before? I'm assuming it was standard, like, paperback price, huh?
Right, right. So, you know, basically they just gave the big middle finger to Eric Bischoff and said, hey, our bad, we forgot to drop the price, and guess what? Your royalty check next month isn't going to be that big. So
that's classic.
Yeah.
And what's funny is probably when Eric Bischoff announced that on Facebook, people, fans of Eric Bischoff or TNA Wrestling, probably started buying the book. And yeah, now they're going in there in droves at the $1.98. Man, I think I might log on to WWE.com and purchase that book for a $1.98.
Yeah, that's a steal for a book. And it's just funny. It's funny that, you know, this whole big Monday Night Wars is gearing up again between WWE and TNA and Eric Bischoff and Hulk Hogan. And, you know, they've been taking, they took Hulk Hogan's little thing out of the beginning of the wrestling. You know, they always do the beginning WWE little clip before they start the show, and they took Hulk Hogan out of it. And it's funny. It's funny how it's getting almost petty, kind of petty, but Eric Bischoff's an idiot anyways. And he really should have kept his mouth shut, because that was just easy money. How did he not think the WWE was going to do something about it, you know, once they realized that they were still selling his stuff? So it's just pretty funny. He should have kept his mouth shut. Second big news story that just came out today, another one by PW Insider, is Goldberg's coming back to the WWE, or at least he's in negotiations with the WWE. So I think he put on his Twitter. Let me look at the article really fast. Yeah, he put on his Twitter that that yes, he's in negotiations again with the WWE, and took a shot at TNA. And I don't know how I feel about Goldberg coming back. I think, you know, when you look back at the history of when the WWE bought out WCW, and the fact that WWE basically screwed all the big WCW guys, when you really think about it, they really didn't do anything with it. So when you know, the only guy that really made it anywhere was Booker T. Kind of came up a bit. Of course, Rey Mysterio's still around, but, you know, he was a little bit, he wasn't as big in WCW as he was, you know, coming over to the WWE. But the big guys, Scott Steiner, Bill Goldberg, Booker T, you know, all those guys, they
lost really got screwed.
Yeah. But, you know, same thing happened to ECW. So when ECW got bought, look at, you know, Tommy Dreamer. Tommy Dreamer is a perfect example of a huge ECW star champion who kind of really was a jobber in the WWE, you know?
So. That's true. That's true. Yeah, that's going to be interesting to see. You know, when Goldberg did his first tour with WWE, they put him in those disgusting white tights. I think Scott Steiner was pounding on him. I don't even remember if they put the belt on him, and if they did, it wasn't for such a short time. It wasn't good WWE TV. It was more like, you know, them sending a message to the other wrestlers, welcome to the big dance, you're nothing here, when they could have given quality ratings, quality show performances, which in the end now could probably mean, you know, a quality Hall of Fame show, you know?
Yeah.
So in the end, it comes back to bite you.
Yeah. So I don't know. We'll see. We'll see if, I don't think he's going to be back like full time. He'll probably do a few shows here and there, and just to, you know, some notoriety. Plus, you know, he's on the Celebrity Apprentice. I'm not sure he's been voted off or not, because I don't watch that show, but I know that's what he's been doing lately.
Yep, him and Maria of former WWE fame are on the Celebrity Apprentice, and they are both on. In fact, Maria, she won her project management challenge last week.
Cool. Yeah, so we'll see. We'll see how it goes with that one. So let's move on to the big dance. Of course, the big news for this week is WrestleMania. A lot of stuff going on, gearing up towards that show. I'm actually kind of excited about this year's WrestleMania, because, you know, there's a few matches I'm really not sure how they're going to go. I was really torn about the whole Bret Hart, Vince McMahon, Bret Hart wrestling again, that kind of thing. I hope they do that one justice. I hope that they put Bret Hart over and all that good stuff. But let's start from the beginning. So WrestleMania matches, CM Punk versus Rey Mysterio. Bobby, who's your pick for that match?
Rey Mysterio.
Why? Why Rey Mysterio?
I think he's just a much more exciting wrestler when it comes to the big show. CM Punk is a very good technical wrestler, better wrestler than Rey Mysterio, but everybody pops for Rey. And I think it's the perfect opening to a show where the crowd is going to be on fire.
You know, I know they've been pushing the CM Punk heel turn. I'm thinking CM Punk's going to win this one, man. I think they're going to kind of throw everybody for a loop. Rey Mysterio isn't getting the type of pops that he has been getting. I had heard, I forgot which, I was listening to a wrestling podcast, and they were saying how they had edited part of Rey Mysterio's promos on SmackDown to make it seem like he was getting better pops from the crowd than he really was.
That's interesting.
Trying to put him over. Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. I enjoy Rey Mysterio's, high wrestling move tactics. CM Punk, I guess the reason that I don't like him right now is I don't like the gimmick because Stevie whatever, they already used that gimmick already, Straight Edge Society.
Yeah.
Remember
Stevie
Richards, Stevie the Richards. Good father, the good father and yeah. Steven Richards. So, wait at least 10 years to recycle a storyline, WWE.
All right, so let's move on to the triple threat match. Randy Orton, Ted DiBiase, Cody Rhodes. Bobby, who do you got winning this match?
I got a comment on this one. I really liked the Ted DiBiase, Cody Rhodes promo on Raw. I don't know why. I was there in person, so I was kind of cracking up. I'm going to say Ted DiBiase.
I got to agree with you on that one because I think they're starting to push Ted DiBiase. It's going to be a perfect outcome to a weekend for him inducting his dad. That whole DiBiase dynasty is going to be kind of playing itself out. I'm sure I got a feeling you might end up seeing all three fathers somehow involved with this match.
That'd be cool.
That'd be pretty cool if you think about it. And they're also setting up the DiBiase Rhodes split, and they started setting it up in the promo, like you said, from Raw. Cause Ted DiBiase was throwing shot at Cody Rhodes this week. Kind of subtle kind of stuff, but they're kind of setting up, that whole split right there. So I'm thinking Ted DiBiase is going to take this one too. Excuse me. All right, let's talk Triple H versus Sheamus. Probably one of the worst matches that's going to be on the card. Who do you got winning this match?
I'm going to chalk the win up to the boss, to the boss's son, Triple H.
the thing is, I think on the surface, I thought, Triple H isn't going to drop a match at WrestleMania. But one of the promos that he cut, was it this week or last week, where he was talking about people that have beat me at WrestleMania have gone on to do great things, and people that have lost have gone into obscurity or whatever he said. And, they're really pushing Sheamus for some reason. Well, I know why, because, he's buddy-buddy with Triple H.
He's Triple H's workout partner, and there's rumors out on the internet wires that Triple H trained him how to wrestle.
I'm thinking Sheamus is going to take this. I think they're going to actually put him over, let him beat Triple H. I don't think he deserves it personally. I don't think he's earned it yet, but I think they're gonna go ahead and do it. If he is buddies and he's really trying to bring Sheamus up, I think he's going to drop a WrestleMania match to him.
Well, I've got some advice for Sheamus if he's listening. Sheamus, if you beat Triple H at WrestleMania, obviously your stock is going to skyrocket and you're going to get ratings and merchandise and maybe a nice little raise. You'll be able to now afford a tan and get a haircut.
Yeah,
buy yourself some new tights also.
For real. For real. All right.
And get a new move because the bicycle kick sucks.
Yeah, there's a lot better things that dude could be doing, but hey, whatever. They're pushing him for some reason. I'm all for pushing the young guys, but not like that. I don't
think
Sheamus
should be on NXT right now.
Oh, I mean, yeah, really, dude. I mean, imagine it. I think something that'd be good would be watching him go against Bryan Daniel or Daniel Bryan, however you say his name now. So
yeah.
All right, so let's talk about the Unified Tag Team Championship, Big Show and The Miz versus John Morrison and R-Truth. Bobby, who do you got taking this one?
I am a big mark for John Morrison. John Morrison and R-Truth are going to win it. John Morrison is going to pin the Big Show via the Starship Pain.
I'm kind of torn about this one because Well, number one, we talked about it a little bit earlier. The tag team division sucks. And the fact that they're kind of teaming up these individual wrestlers into tag teams, it's pretty telling when you think about it, right? Especially when they've got, you know, the Hart Legacy or the Hart, what do they call them?
The Hart Dynasty. My favorite stable in wrestling right now.
Yeah, you got the Hart Dynasty kind of coming up, but they really don't got any other good tag teams. And I love John Morrison. R-Truth's all right. Of course, I'm a big Miz fan because I think he's got awesome mic skills. You can hate him or love him, but the dude can talk. Big Show, you know, a lot of people don't like the Big Show, but I
hate him.
Really? Dude, I think so.
Big Show and Mark Henry, I think, need to be released.
But, dude, when he's a face, man, he has some of the funniest promos because he's a funny guy. True. He is a funny guy. I'm thinking Big Show and Miz is going to take this one still, and they're going to keep this little whatever they call themselves now. They're going to keep that going for a little while.
Show Miz.
Oh, yeah, Show Miz.
And I think you bring up a really good point about the tag teams. If I was WWE, they should start looking into their NXT candidates and start forming tag teams before they send these guys off into wrestling singles careers. I can think of two wrestlers in NXT right now that would make a good tag team and that would look like an awesome tag team would be David Otunga and Tarver.
And I think they're going to start pushing David Otunga. You can kind of see them gearing up to give him a push, I think, along with Daniel Bryan. And
he's got presence. Yeah. He's got presence. Yeah. I like Justin Gabriel.
Plus, I mean, and you know, the thing is, too, is I think they're really looking to push more African-American wrestlers. You know, they kind of did it to Kofi Kingston, which I was thinking about earlier today. The whole thing with him and Randy Orton, they kind of went off that push a little bit. They're kind of doing it with R-Truth a little bit. I think they need another good African-American wrestler to kind of come up to the ranks and do some bigger things, and David Otunga might be that guy.
Diversity is up and coming in the WWE, and it's so funny that you said that, because when I was watching NXT Live, and if you haven't seen NXT, here's something that I thought was a trip. I was looking at the ring, and there was a tag team match, and the tag team was David Otunga, Tarver, and I forget the wrestler's name from NXT, but he's from Miami, and I was like, wow. Three out of the four guys are African-American right now. And then the guy outside was Carlito. And I was like, wow, what a trip. Yeah. I think the other guy was Heath Slater that was out there. So I think you're on something.
Yeah, yeah. So, I think David Otunga is coming up in the world. So let's talk about Money in the Bank ladder match. Bobby, who do you got taking the Money in the Bank?
Not a big fan of the Money in the Bank ladder match. I was in attendance. So were you live when we saw the first ever Money in the Bank ladder match. Hate this match. Too many wrestlers. Jesus, I can't even remember who's in it. Any idea who's in it?
Yeah. Well, I know who I want to win it, and that's Christian.
Is Carlito in it?
No, Carlito isn't in this one. Yeah.
Oh, man. You said Christian's in it?
Yep, Christian's in it.
I love Captain Charisma. My vote is for Christian.
Yeah, and I think it's a good time to give Christian a push finally. You know, I had big reservations, and when he came over from TNA, really hoping they do something good with them. They stuck them in ECW. Don't think they're going to do that. But what I think is going to happen is, and we're going to get to that match in a second, but I think Edge is going to win the title. I think Christian's going to win the Money in the Bank, and then they're going to go at it. I think that's the next evolution for that.
That would be pretty cool. And WWE, Vince McMahon, if you're listening out there, if you're going to bring back the high... Yeah, of course. He listens every week. If you're going to bring back the highlight reel, then please bring back the Peep Show.
Yeah, man. Those guys were so... And you know, when Christian and Edge were together, the tag team, dude, they had some of the funniest stuff out there, man. They were so good together. And I think a rivalry between them two is going to be good because they know each other well. They've wrestled together for many, many years. And I think they're going to have some awesome matches once that happens.
Dude, Edge has such a comedic presence out there. You know, they still need to bring him out there with the glasses. And there was, you know, how about that tagline they said, and now, ladies and gentlemen, for the next 10 seconds, we'll go ahead and let you take pictures of us or something like that.
Or the concerto.
For flash photography purposes.
Oh, yeah. Well, and you know, that's the thing, too. So Money in the Bank made Edge, you know. And I think this is Christian's time to kind of do the same thing. And then I had heard that they're actually making a whole pay-per-view, a Money in the Money in the Bank pay-per-view, which I don't know how they're really going to do. But
I hate Money in the Bank. It's so boring.
Well, I'm hoping Christian takes it. I'm hoping they really give him the push that he deserves. So speaking
WWE, you want to bring back something cool? Bring back NWA War Games with the double ring.
Dude, that was awesome.
Or the Chicago Scaffold match.
there were some good matches that WCW had. Starrcade and all that
NWA,
stuff.
NWA, yeah. Starrcade and the Great American Bash, baby.
Yeah. So let's talk about Chris Jericho, Edge. We were just talking about a little bit. Of course, I just said my pick, Edge. So what do you got for that one, Bobby?
First thing that I want to say is that Edge or the WWE are lacking in creativity because Edge is trying to shove down a tagline that we have heard before. And he keeps trying to get the crowd to say spear, spear, spear. Edge, get a clue. It's been done by Rhino and it was called Gore, Gore, Gore. Made famous by Paulie Dangerously.
Oh, that's true, huh? I didn't even think about that.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, from ECW. So that I think that's horrible. But, hey, I got to go with my boy Chris Jericho.
Well, you just screwed up my whole Christian winning then, but all right.
Well, it's going to be cool because next week we're going to get to compare.
And I think that's actually, you know, thinking about that, so you figure it's going to be pretty rare if both – world championships change hands in one night. Mm-hmm. That's a rarity. It usually doesn't happen. Usually at a WrestleMania, one of them changes, one of them doesn't. So if you pick Jericho to win, then does that mean Batista it loses to Cena? But if you pick Edge to win, then that means Batista's keeping it. So so let's move on to that match. WWE Championship match, Batista versus John Cena. I'm pretty torn about this one because I really don't know what's going to happen with this one.
Yeah, it's a trip. What do you think? Who's gonna win? Well, I'll go first, I guess.
Yeah.
Well, I don't like either of them. I'm not a big fan of Batista, and I'm definitely not a fan of Cena. I was fans when John Cena was prototype, and I was a fan when Batista was in the stable. I forget what it was called, but it was a good stable. That's when I was fans. Now,
Evolution.
Not so much. Evolution. Yeah. Evolution. Now, not so much. I'm not a big fan. I'm not even going to – this is going to be my bathroom break match. But if I had to pick somebody, I would pick Batista. And this is another low-down historical radio moment because Carlos and I were both in attendance when Batista and John Cena both won their first title matches.
Yep, WrestleMania 26, we were there sitting behind the Titantron in the nosebleed seats, but we were there and we saw Batista take his first championship. Actually, yeah, both of them. We saw both of them take their first championship. Batista was the last match, if I remember right. And yep. That was the first time that I kind of was like, man, he's pretty over. He was over that night with the crowd. And I'm torn about this one. I really don't know who's going to take this one. Of course, Cena being the face of the company, Batista's trying to come up and he's pushing this movie that he's going to be doing. I'm thinking Batista's going to keep it. I'm thinking he's going to keep it. I think they might keep this rivalry going for a little bit. Or they're going to move on, maybe, you know, depending on who wins the ladder. If Christian doesn't win the ladder in a match and they give it to somebody else instead, maybe that plays into it a little bit. So, but yeah, I'm thinking Batista's going to keep this one. So let's move on to Bret Hart versus Mr. McMahon. So I really, really was hoping Bret Hart wouldn't wrestle again. I know the stroke hasn't done him well. He doesn't look like he moves too well anymore. I knew the whole thing with his leg was fake, and that, I mean, of course it was fake to begin with, but I knew that eventually it would be revealed. I didn't expect him to reveal it last week on Raw. I really expected that to happen in the middle of the match at WrestleMania. You know, they had the whole thing on Raw this past week where Mr. McMahon came out after Bret Hart's promo and said, one way or another, you're screwed. I thought it was kind of cool. You know, of course, being Mr. McMahon, there's a whole bunch of stuff that can happen all at once, but I got a feeling that if he tries to do something, you're going to see somebody in the Hart family do something as well. So,
and I was just about to say that. Yeah. That I don't think it's going to be Bret Hart beating McMahon. I think it's going to be all of the Harts beating the crap out of Mr. McMahon.
And that would be pretty good. And
it would be fun to watch.
Yeah, and you know that would be good if somehow you got the Hart dynasty involved with that, and then right after WrestleMania, you start pushing them really hard. Because that would be a prime time to get those kids up there, get them on the big stage in front of everybody, you know, have them beat the crap out of Mr. McMahon, and then you spin off a whole storyline with that. And especially because I've heard very recently that Bret Hart actually extended his contract past WrestleMania, so he still might be around a little bit. And I'm thinking, if he's
his
around,
girlfriend.
I'm sorry, go ahead. Well, if he's around still, I think it's a perfect opportunity for him to push them. And I remember hearing an interview with Bret Hart, I don't know, maybe 8-9 months ago, that said if he would ever come back to the WWE, and he said it might be in the capacity to help that whole tag team, you know, get bigger. So
that stable is so good. Talking of the Hart dynasty, I mean, you've got Tyson Kidd who was trained by the Harts. You've got Davey Boy Jr., who obviously, you know, is a Hart. You know, his dad was the British Bulldog. You've got Natty Neidhart, who's the daughter of Jim the Anvil Neidhart. And there's another Hart who's missing that people don't talk about because he's kind of like the black sheep of the Harts. And he is the black sheep, but he's also the best Hart. And that's Teddy Hart, who was actually the youngest wrestler ever signed by the WWE.
Is he still
and then got. No, he got fired because he had a bad attitude. But I think his Uncle Brett can tell him to shut the hell up and then just to listen.
Yeah.
So I hope that they can really take that foundation, you know, and really turn it into something nice. Bret Hart, he's got all the time in the world. His girlfriend went back to college, which is the reason he's doing WWE TV right now because he doesn't want to be home alone.
You know, it'd be good to see Jim the Anvil Neidhart's still around, right? I mean,
Yeah, definitely. And he's good. I mean, I'll put it to you this way. If they would have pushed Jim the Anvil Neidhart as a singles wrestler, just like Bret Hart, Jim the Anvil Neidhart could have had a good run as like U.S. champ or like intercontinental champ. He was that good.
Well, especially back then, because Intercontinental Championship back then really meant something. It meant something a little bit different.
And they were the ultimate heels. Yeah, they were good.
And, you know, that's funny, too, because I was thinking about that this morning, man. The Hart Foundation was – they were heels. They were some of the truest heels back in the day, fighting against, you know, teams like Demolition and
– British Bulldogs.
Right. Oh, yeah, the British Bulldogs. Exactly. So,
yeah.
Man, just
– I was so lucky to see the Hart Foundation versus the British Bulldogs. I saw a couple of live matches. It was awesome. Yeah, awesome. And I was such a little kid. And I would feel so afraid when the Bulldogs were getting pounded on.
Yeah, I remember. And I was the same way too. So
they would also battle. They would also battle Greg Valentine and Brutus Beefcake.
Right, and
they would battle the Rougeau brothers.
Right, and the
Rockers. So many good tag teams out there.
Yeah, and that's when tag teams were tag teams back then, man. I mean, you can't get past that era of the WWF at the time, and awesome tag teams. So
that's why I think I loved Survivor Series so much, because you would bring together teams again. Man, I wish we would have a pay-per-view just based on tag team wrestling. It would be so awesome.
So let's talk about the streak versus the career. Undertaker versus Shawn Michaels. Not a match that I was particularly excited about. Their promos the last few weeks have been pretty good. I like the thing with Raw this week. So tell me, Bobby, you were there at the show. Could you tell, was the Undertaker under the ring, or how did they do that?
They black out the stage, and then usually what they do now is when you see all the referees come in, is usually like five referees come in all at the same time, and then usually the Undertaker or whatever wrestler is going to sneak into the ring. He's usually in the middle,
yeah,
like kind of like a little, you know, little person going down there. So I can totally see it as it was going down. Undertaker versus Shawn Michaels, I didn't want to see it. I was hoping that they were going to change up the storyline, but the promos got good and the video vignettes got really, really good. So you heard it first here on the Lowdown. I am going to take a guess. I'm going to say that the Undertaker is about to lose the match, and then out of nowhere, Bret Hart runs in and then beats the crap out of Shawn Michaels, and then Undertaker pins Shawn Michaels. That's what I would like to see.
You know what? That's interesting. That's – wow.
It would be a good storyline. WWE Creative needs to call Bobby Rogue.
I didn't even think about that because, you know, they – Bret Hart and Shawn Michaels kind of already made their peace. That's interesting. That'd be an interesting twist to everything.
It would be such a good swerve, and if Bret Hart is going to stay on, contracted through WWE, then maybe then there can be a Bret Hart-Shawn Michaels street match, like let's say SummerSlam.
Yeah, I think that's going to depend on how Bret Hart looks this next weekend. Because, I mean, when you think about a couple years ago, Ricky the Dragon Steamboat had an awesome WrestleMania match. And then he got had another match the next night at Raw, and he absolutely sucked. So, yeah. Yeah, it's going to depend on how Bret Hart looks, but that'd be an interesting twist to it. I think The Undertaker is going to take it. I think that out of everybody, he deserves to keep the streak alive. I think
it needs to go to 20-0, and then he can retire.
Yeah, well, that's the thing, too, is, you know, he doesn't have a whole lot. I don't think he's got a lot of time left, and I think that, you know, he's the one person that you would want that streak to, and that it should be dropped. If you're going to break the streak, it's got to be to an up-and-comer who deserves it, and it's kind of a passing of the torch type thing. Shawn Michaels breaking a streak doesn't pass the torch. You know, it's just, is what it is. I
mean, these are two locker room leaders. Here's a WWE tidbit a lot of people don't know. You can use this during your drinking game, college students. Shawn Michaels and Undertaker are the only wrestlers, active wrestlers today, that were at the first WWE Raw taping that wrestled.
Yeah.
And look at how many Raws there have been. I think over 700 Raws have been taped.
Yeah, I'm
crazy.
Yeah, I was really hoping for something a little bit different from this match. You know, like you said, the promos got better. But yeah, I don't know. This is, you know, take two of there. I don't know. I think Undertaker is going to take it. I'm hoping for something cool, a twist. I think Shawn Michaels potentially set up. The aftermath of that, because he said something in his promo this week on Raw that said, I may not even be Shawn Michaels anymore. And I don't know if you caught that. He said that, but if you look at his promo, he was saying something. I may not be Mr. WrestleMania. I may not be this. I may not even be Shawn Michaels anymore, but I am going to be the one that beat the Undertaker. And I'm like, okay, here it is. Here's the twist. Right.
I saw that. I'll tell you, the best thing about that video promo was when he threw Marty Jannetty through the glass, window. Yeah. It was so awesome to see those old school videos.
Yeah. And we had talked about it before. I think on the first heel turn was they're labeling this a career ending match, but you know, it's not a retirement match. There's so many ways that they could twist this back around where Shawn Michaels comes right back into something.
Yeah. Different. Like his Raw career. And then he's going to start the SmackDown career, you know? So,
that's very true. Oh, you know what? I didn't even think about his career on Raw is over, but not on SmackDown.
And that's exactly, he can show up on Monday and say that, you know, in the tradition of the WWE, we'll probably won't see Undertaker or Shawn Michaels on TV again till SummerSlam or leading up to SummerSlam. Cause you know, the senior leaders of the locker room usually tend to take a break.
Yeah, that's very true.
All right. That would be a good swerve. WWE creative. If you're listening, I've given you so many ideas. Carlos has given you so many ideas. Our Twitter accounts are on the homepage of our website, Carlos. Our website, please.
Oh, lowdownradio.com, of course.
Thank you, sir. And you can hire us there. We work for cheap.
For real. Because I'm sure their cheapest rider is still more money than I'm making right now.
I won't even accept health insurance from you guys, WWE. I'll use the government-sponsored one.
So out of all the matches of WrestleMania, which one are you looking most forward to?
Definitely looking for tag team wrestling, because my favorite wrestler on the roster right now is John Morrison, the Shaman of Sexy.
I think I'm looking
my favorite wrestler.
I think I'm looking most forward to the legacy breakup, the official breakup, the triple threat match between Randy Orton, Ted DiBiase, and Cody Rhodes. I think that's going to be a good one. I think Randy Orton's going to do a good job of putting these two guys over. And especially when you think about it. So think about Raw real quick. You know, Sheamus had a clean pin on him this week. Which I thought was interesting, because Sheamus has been notorious for not having any kind of clean pins, but he had a clean kick, clean pin. There was no interference. It was, you know, and he put Sheamus over. So I think that he's going to do that and so much more for even Ted DiBiase. So I think Ted DiBiase is going to take it, and you're going to see a big push for Ted DiBiase.
So are you going to do anything special for WrestleMania? Are you going to order it? Or are you just going to wait and see what the online results are? I know I am going to fire up the barbecue and put a little bit of meat on the bobby and enjoy the beginning of spring.
I think what I'm going to do is have you Skype it and put your camera on the TV and then let me watch it that way.
Ooh, that's a very good idea.
Yeah. No, I don't think I'm going to get it. It's a little bit more, probably a little bit more expensive than I would like it to be. Plus there's some of the matches I'm really not looking forward to. So I'm just going to kind of pay attention to the results. I might look on Ustream, because a lot of times some folks will have it streaming on Ustream and they'll get kicked off, and I'll just find a new feed on Ustream or something, which I know that's not exactly probably the way I should be saying this out loud, but it is what it is. I mean, these one of the problems with the WWE is their pricing for the pay-per-views is just too expensive, you know, especially when you're talking about a pay-per-view a month. You know, they're mostly like, what, $30, $35, $40, and then WrestleMania's, it used to be $50. I don't even know what it is anymore.
Wow, and that is kind of crazy, because if you break it down by match, it's like you're paying like $5-7 a match.
I think if they dropped the price, in half, I think they would see their numbers go up, because it's a better price point for people to actually want to get it. You know,
and they better drop it, because if not, UFC is going to catch up to them.
Yeah, exactly. So, all right, everybody, if you want to learn more about the heel turn, sponsored by LowdownRadio.com. You can check out our website at LowdownRadio.com. You can also follow us on Twitter. That's Twitter.com/LowdownRadio. You can follow Bobby Rogue at Memo McAlpin on Twitter. And you can follow me. I'm Carlos Freevert on Twitter. Bobby, got any last-minute words for all our internet fans out there?
Internet fans, I love you.
All right, everybody, thanks for tuning in to episode 2 of The Heel Turn. We'll see you soon for episode 3, our WrestleMania recap. Thanks and have a good night.